You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
You haven't done that in a while.
Well, I find that if I don't interrupt you, you introduce me. If I do interrupt you, then it just leads to chaos.
This is true. There was one episode where you did the what, like for probably 20 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. And our beautiful, not beautiful in looking, but our beautifully talented, no, not beautifully talented, our great producer, Andrew Hudson, yes, decided to phase you out. He faded you out.
He faded me out. I just like let it go in.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was like, I don't know how we're gonna deal with that. But Andrew was awesome.
I could do it every time.
Please don't. Well, today we have a question from Tanes, so let's listen in.
Hey, New Churches. My name is Tanis, and I'm phoning from Canada, just south of Ottawa, from a growing church. I am the administrator, communications, morning host, along with our assistant pastor, and just have questions kind of about timeline, takeovers, and team. I asked this in multi-site church strategies, and just wondering, for kind of absorbing a local denomination church a short little ways away and in a short time, do you guys have any tips for timeline and kind of tasks that we should do and look after for a September rebrand and relaunch as a satellite campus? We are not multi-site at the moment, and we are a church of about 500 with lots of families kind of commuting from the new area. Are we crazy? Is this, let us know, tap into your resources because you guys are doing a great job.
All right. So not every Canadian says resources, because Tanis did not.
No. She did.
No.
She did. She just said resources.
No, she said resources.
I think she said resources. You need to play the tape again, friend.
All right. So
yep, this is I was right.
So this is a great question. So there are 500, not multi-site at the moment. It's about 4 months to possibly launching this church. And I know they're considering shutting that church down before launching it. So let's rip.
All right, I got questions, and so I'm going to ask the question and then make assumptions. Okay. How about we do that?
Yeah.
So
it's the only thing we can do.
The question is, what denomination and how strong is the denominational body?
Yeah.
Meaning, is the denomination making this decision? I can't even talk. Is the denomination making the decision? Mm-hmm. Is the church that you're acquiring, for lack of a better word, making the decision? Mm-hmm. Like, how does that work? Because those things could play out way differently, as well as the fact that you don't know. Like, there's a lot going into this that if it is a really strong denomination that is shutting the doors and opening the doors, that has a lot of control, then there's probably less to talk about.
Yeah. What's neat about the church, and I can look them up right now, they're because of Tanis's email, they have three services right now on Sunday, 9 a.m., 10:20 a.m., and 11:40 a.m. So this is a little bit different than the previous question we got a few episodes back from Todd about them having one service and then going multi-site. So this is a great example of a church that's, you've had to learn how to scale. And you've proven it because you have three services and you have 500 people. And a 500 person church in Canada is pretty much a mega church. I mean,
three services. So you've already, you're already used to some of this.
Exactly. So that's the context. And I think it's pretty safe to say, as I look at their website and what they're going through, that they have momentum as a church. So it's likely that they are moving this forward and they're wanting to absorb this church, and they've probably had the conversations.
Yeah. So I don't think you're crazy. I think 4 months is, you got to be on your A game. Mm-hmm. Basically you're talking 120 days, and that is a really tight turnaround. So I don't know what it's like in Canada, but I'm assuming zoning and all that can be issues. So you want to check with the government about permits and everything.
It seems
else?
Like it's an existing church building.
Anyway. It is. Yeah. It is. But there's some people that don't like churches. Mm. And so much like in the book of Daniel, they do things to catch you. Mm-hmm. And they do things that will, you know, there's nothing that would please them more than delaying the launch or, you know, shutting you down right afterward. So I would say check on all your permits, make sure there's no liens on the property, make sure there's no back taxes or anything like that. All bills are paid, all of that kind of financial legal stuff.
Yeah.
Next, I say you go from, you know, the cornerstone to the steeple, mm-hmm. and you look at everything internally, AC, plumbing, electrical.
Yeah, that's good.
Anything like that. So I had the blessing and not as much blessing sometimes of going through and assessing a potential site, multi-site or potential acquisition tip to tail. So I speak about all this from experience. Yeah. So learn from mistakes. So there's things like, you know, an AC unit or heating or whatever that you're like, oh, this church has $50,000 in the bank. They're positive. And well, that's not positive if you have to spend 1.3 on getting the thing up and running where it needs to be.
Exactly. The other variable to throw into this as I'm looking around their website is it looks like they're already on a building campaign as well.
Ooh.
Right. So that does throw in another variable in that they're raising funds for a building or to do improvements on their building. And then there's also this other building that's now come about to possibly start a campus. So there is a possibility for some mixed attention or attention scope creep coming in.
It could be scope creep, but again, whether or not, whether you're building onto your existing building or opening a new campus, it's all about vision. Mm-hmm. And people give to vision. They don't give to a building, especially younger generations. And so I would say if the vision for why you need a bigger campus, a bigger, you know, your present building.
Yeah. Looks like they're expanding campus, their facilities.
Aligns with the vision of why on earth would you do another multi-site? Mm-hmm. Then, man, that's perfect. Just roll it in.
Yeah, you're right.
And go for
it. They're part of it.
And go for it. If you've done the vision, in my opinion, if you've got the right vision for why you need a bigger campus, mm-hmm. it probably fits right in with the multi-site.
Yeah, which is why what you said before is so important in that you are doing that assessment of that building. So in addition to shutting that congregation down, right, I would say whatever you do, don't have them continue meeting, right? Take the sign down, shut the building. I mean, do a finishing off type of service, have them do that, but then have them actually join your campus. Have them make the drive and then say, hey, for the next 4 months, we want you guys to be a part of our church family. We are a family. We are a family. We want you to be a part of it. And in that time, you're going to lose people, right? You will, but that's fine. But what you really want to do is develop a core team and have individuals who are then going to go out again with your church DNA and help launch
totally.
The campus.
And I would say, you know, it doesn't mean you don't have any preview events there or prayer meetings there, mm-hmm. or use the campus in that way. But as far as your service, I would say only your preview services that you're making sure this is your first campus after all.
Yeah.
So you don't want the first Sunday to be the first time that you broadcast in or however you're delivering the sermon in particular that day. You want to make sure that that's not the first time you're having guests in the building. Because if you do this well, you're going to have people that not only that never went to that church before, mm-hmm. but they've never been to your church before either. Yeah, it's just people from the community that are like, what?
Yeah. So make sure that as you do your building assessment in terms of the infrastructure, you know, the AC, the central, all that stuff that needs to be fixed. Also have your directors, the directors of each of your areas, the pastors from the existing church to actually go over, right? And to assess, hey, what needs to happen for the kids area to feel like the kids area at our main campus? What do we need to do so that we have meeting space, you know, the foyer space inside, outside, inside the auditorium as well? How do we make it so that both, because it's a campus, how do we make sure that every single thing actually does look and feel the same, have that same culture around it? So sometimes that means you're spending money on stickers, right, in the kids area to jazz things up. And maybe you can't build this big kids area, but what are ways that you can have the same feel at a smaller location but not put in the same amount of money? Like wall decals, you know, is what I was trying to talk about.
Stickers.
Yeah, stickers. Peel and stick. Scratch and sniff.
Oh, yeah. Many will come to know him through the scratch and sniff sticker.
Yeah. So what other advice would you have for them? Because they're not multi-site. I mean, this is 4 months. They're doing a financial campaign.
Your first one, you better be doing some previews. You better be doing some preview services.
So how many preview services would you recommend?
I would say three. The first one is maybe four. The first one or two, it's just like, we're not opening this up to anybody, not even volunteers. Mm-hmm. It's just... or key volunteers, it's just staff and key volunteers. This is the bones crew that we're going to pretend like there's people here, but there's not people here. And we're going to do a dry run.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and that's just maybe a tech check. And then I would say, you know, have your first service and it's almost like invitation only. And then have like a prayer service.
Yeah, that's good.
So that you're building up and getting some experience in the facility before you actually do it. But I mean, when I'm talking about the building, go from tip to tail. But then Daniel cut me off before I finished. Now we go outside and now we look at everything from landscaping to parking lot. You know, does the parking lot need a fresh coat of asphalt and new white lines? Do you need to rip out shrubs that were planted by Grandpa Bob and nobody wanted to take those out, but they're covering up half the church.
Yeah.
But it's assessing, okay, when I approach this campus via vehicle, what am I thinking when I pull into the parking lot and then, you know, go all the way to a kid's classroom and just assess it that way. The other thing, last thing, sorry, is about exegeting that community.
Yeah.
And we've talked about how to do that before on the podcast. So go back and maybe give a listen to one of those. But it's really, when I say exegete the community, I mean, okay, it's in a completely different area than your current campus, a different neighborhood. So what's the neighborhood like? What's around it? What's the history of the church? And think about ways that, especially if you're going to have any of that congregation move forward, think about some of the history of the church. And if there's any, you know, unique things to pull out of it, and celebrate those things as you, you know, bury the time capsule in the ground. But you do want to celebrate some of those things, before, as you move in, and then, you know, that's the foundation of what you know, are looking for the future. But it's, hey, we're going to give a hat tip to the legacy of this place. And now here's where we're going.
That's important. Now, when we look at your church online right now, because you guys have three services, whether you guys are going to go video preaching or live preaching, the thing is, you can't at this moment have your lead pastor commute between the two campuses because you already have three services, right? So that either leads me to believe that you're going to be doing video preaching or you're going to be developing a teaching team.
Or now, teleportation.
Yeah, teleportation. Yeah.
Exactly. Or like one of those pneumatic tubes that the pastor just gets in and goes...
So in light of that, one of the things that you'd want to do is make sure that you have a face with the place, right? Who is going to be the campus pastor of that location? And then to make sure that the campus pastor of that location, maybe he is one of your associate pastors right now or whoever. I mean, but the thing is, the lead pastor can't be the campus pastor at that new location because you have three services. You need someone who's going to be that face, who is going to meet with all the families that are currently coming to your church that live in that area. That person's going to be doing all that pre-work, developing the relationships, developing the core team over the next 4 months, is in addition to meeting with families who might transition from that existing church to yours, right? A lot of that relationship needs to happen. Now, centrally, you can have your kids person, your other aspects being dealt with and being planned out financially, all that stuff there. But the campus pastor, the future campus pastor, needs to be developing those relationships and that relational capital.
Yeah. And that brings out the other assessment that you have to do or audit that you have to do, which is now internally back at your existing location to look at people and where they live, put it up on a big Google map and drop pins in where people live and say, where do our, you know, what group leaders do we have? What volunteers do we have for different areas of the church to know where your potential gaps might be in the new?
Yeah. So I want to encourage you to go to newchurches.com/campuspastor to check out our course, because Todd, as he was talking about audits, he actually has one of his modules that's your first 90 days.
That talk about all that stuff from, you know, batch geo and how to use it a little bit. But it's making sure that you have a good launch. Yeah. So, and I talk about, hey, here's some key assumptions that you've already done.
Yeah.
And I would say when I talk to people about that course, a lot of them said, well, that was one of the your key assumptions were great for me because I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So be sure to check that out. This is going to be a perfect course for you as you train up your new campus pastor for the new campus. So thank you again for listening in. And if there's any other thing that we can do to help, we love church planners. We love campus pastors. We love pastors who are wanting to multiply. So thanks for listening in, and we will catch you next time.